I'm Jerry Willis, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Friday, August 31st, 2018. I'm Chris Foster. The president says searching for Trump news gets you fake news.
Google and Twitter and Facebook, they're really treading on very, very troubled territory.
I'm Lisa Brady. Iran gets good grades from the UN's nuclear watchdog, but it wants much more than that.
The Iranians are hoping for, and what the remaining countries are hoping for, is to try to salvage this deal.
And I'm Chris Wallace. I've got the final word on the Fox News Rundown.
President Trump's been complaining about Google, claiming the search results are rigged so that almost all stories and news about him and others are bad. He claims on Twitter that Google and others are suppressing voices of conservatives and hiding information and news that is good. Now, Google responds in a statement, results are not biased toward any political ideology. More on the president's complaints and how those searches work with Fox's Carly Shimkus and Brett Larson.
President Trump has been pretty fired up about Google this week. He is claiming that if you Google his name, Trump News, something like that, more negative news stories come up than positive ones. Now, he thinks that this is an example of bias against conservatives and tech companies. It's something that a lot of conservative politicians talk about all the time. Is this really happening in Google? You could point to a lot of examples where you could kind of contradict what the president is saying. I think the main one is the president knows more than anybody else that, and he talks about all the time, the mainstream media writes a lot of negative news stories about him. So is this really the fault of Google, where there are a lot of news stories coming up about him that he doesn't like? I don't think so. I actually think it's just because there are so many stories out there that are very critical
Google's
of the president.
Google's not writing negative stories. They're just
right.
Google, Brett, Google says that their algorithm is politics neutral.
And as it should be. The algorithms here are very interesting because we actually don't know how it works. That is their trade secret. That is their recipe for Coca-Cola.
And we're talking about Google. We could be talking about any other search engine that you want to use.
Could be. Yeah, it could be all of them. They all work in exactly the same way. They want to give you the most relevant results for the search that you're making. And a lot goes into giving those relevant results to you. It depends on your location. Yeah. It depends on what browser you're using. It depends on your search history in the past. All things that Google knows about you, as we've learned through the years. Google tracks a lot about us. With the news, a couple things are happening here. For one, as Carly pointed out, there are many negative stories about the president. There are also the thing we're dealing with, and we know this as broadcasters, is you want a catchy headline because that's what's going to get people's attention. And it's sort of a self-fulfilling here. You have a catchy headline of an article that's going to get a lot of traffic. And then the more traffic that gets, Google says, well, this is clearly a good article that people are going to want to see.
It's popular, so let's make it more popular.
Exactly. And the other
thing, it's popular because it's popular.
It's popular because it's popular. And the other thing that's happening here is you're getting news articles. And I did the search when I read the president's tweet. I typed into my search engine Trump news. And the first thing that came up was a Fox News article.
Yeah.
And the other two things were a CNN and a Washington Post article. The other thing that we're dealing with here is what we like to call the mainstream media tends to be kind of middle of the road. Most journalism is middle of the road. There are outlets that lean a little one way or the other. The outlets that are middle of the road create the most content because they have a larger, they're trying to appeal to the most people. And the content, you know, when you go to the extreme one way or the other, it's appealing to a very specific audience. Therefore, they don't get as much traffic. Therefore, they don't come up the page in the Google search results.
And, you know, I think, Brett, this is something that you just touched upon. Google's, we don't know really how Google creates their algorithm, but I do believe that the company is focused, of course, on selling advertisements, which means that they're focused on clicks, which is why the most popular websites usually are at the top of search, which is why oftentimes Fox News appears at the very, very top. President Trump is very aware of what's going on with Facebook and Twitter, where there are there is concrete evidence of times where conservative politicians, whether it be the quote-unquote shadow banning of conservative lawmakers or some questionable things that Facebook has done to censor conservatives, Diamond and Silk being one of them that always gets a lot of attention. I think what President Trump is doing is really lumping Google in to that, where at this time there might not be enough evidence. At this time,
there's no there there.
Change.
Well, the banning or suspension or whatever of conservative voices like Alex Jones, those are subjective decisions that are being made by somebody who's saying, okay, this person is a liar or they're too inflammatory or they break our terms of service somehow.
Right.
And I think you're right. The president's lumping Google in with that. But back to the search engine stuff, isn't part of the problem just the years-old complaint that the mainstream media, CNN, CBS, whoever, is left-wing? So you're saying that Google is biased in a left-wing way because it kicks people to popular outlets who President Trump might think are liberal.
I think that's the crux of the issue here, is that this actually, interestingly enough, really isn't, although it's under the guise of attacking Google and Google had to respond and this has become sort of a tech industry complaint, it's really a story about the media and President Trump's criticism over the media as well.
Well, his criticism over the media criticizing him for things that he has done.
Google's
said.
Not kicking people to Breitbart or Daily Caller as much as they're kicking them to more mainstream outlets just because they aren't.
Right.
But you know what? Sometimes I Google things and I see Breitbart. I see The Blaze. I see some conservative outlets out there.
I have as well. And I always find, you know, as a news person, I find it interesting when you read it's the same story basically being told, but told in a different way. And that to me is more fascinating than search results, because you can see sort of the spin in the headline alone.
Now, there's this big meeting coming up on Capitol Hill next week where Sheryl Sandberg is going to be there. Jack Dorsey's going to be there. And Google's facing some criticism because they're not sending their CEO, or their CEO isn't going.
Sheryl Sandberg from
Facebook.
Yeah.
Jack Dorsey's Twitter, CEO of Twitter. Yeah. So Google's head guy isn't going. They're sending like the second or third in command. I think that's going to be a big issue with lawmakers because it feels like a slight.
It does.
What's the hearing about this kind of stuff?
It'll be about a variety of things. It'll be a lot about the election. It'll be a lot about tech companies and Russia interference and all that. But of course, the conservative bias issue is going to come up.
But I think, and I'm parroting someone from the Wall Street Journal that I saw on the Daily Briefing with Dana Perino earlier in the week, whose name escapes me. When we hear these stories, there's a lot of talk about, oh, we need to regulate them. We need to regulate Facebook. We need to regulate Google. We need to regulate Twitter. That sounds like a good idea. And Mark Zuckerberg said he looked forward to that. The problem with that is that will cement Google, Twitter, and Facebook into their positions where they are. And there will not be any competition because they'll be able to lobby Congress. They'll be able to be a part of drawing up the regulations so that they can basically prevent anyone from competing with them.
And I think the president really pulled back on the idea of regulation. Having the government involved in what people see online, I think, makes a lot of people nervous.
Yeah. Because, I mean, look what's happening in China.
Yeah. And although the U.S. government would never get to the China-Russia level, it's a very sticky argument. So we'll see. If any regulation ever happens, I think the first thing will be privacy, about how Google tracks people. That's a whole other debate.
They've handled it. They handled it in the EU. They have really strict privacy regulations there that some of the company like Google is not necessarily following to the letter of the law and had to pay a big fine for it. But there definitely, I would say, privacy should be something that is regulated, and those companies should not be involved in writing that legislation. But that's not how it works.
Final thoughts?
You know, it is an interesting time that we are in. It is a very unusual time where we're learning more about the technology that we use every day. And I think we are learning some things that we don't like. And I think part of the reason we don't like it is because we don't understand it.
Yeah.
So I think the more we understand,
it's all
the
uncharted
off.
Territory. It's the wild, wild west.
Almost
the
literally.
Internet is the wild, wild west.
Yes. And it is not a series of tubes.
All thankfully, right. No guns, though.
Brett Larson, Carly Shemkes.
Thank
thanks,
you,
guys.
Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
This is Chris Wallace with your Fox News commentary coming up.
The UN's nuclear watchdog says Iran is still doing what it's supposed to do, keeping up its end of the seven-nation nuclear agreement. 3 months after.
I am announcing today that the United States will withdraw from the Iran nuclear deal.
President Trump questioning the decision not to include other issues.
The deal does nothing to constrain Iran's destabilizing activities, including its support for terrorism.
He was also highly skeptical of the verification process. But the latest quarterly report from the International Atomic Energy Agency says inspectors were given the proper access and that Iran's stockpiles of low-enriched uranium remain within the acceptable limits.
The Iranians are hoping for, and what the remaining countries are hoping for, is to try to salvage this deal.
Fox's Rich Edson at the State Department.
And essentially what you have is the European governments are trying to blunt the impact of the U.S. withdrawing from the deal. And what that means is the U.S. is putting all these sanctions back onto Iran that it had lifted as part of the 2015 Iran nuclear agreement. So you've got this problem between the United States and its allies right now, where the U.S. is telling European companies, don't do business with Iran, we'll penalize you. And the Europeans are saying, no, you keep doing business with them as it was allowed to continue under the Iran nuclear deal because we're still part of that. So this is this dynamic that's happening where the United States is trying to get countries to isolate Iran, and some of its closest allies are saying, guys, look, we're still sticking in this deal. We're going to try to make it work.
So in the meantime, we have this latest report from the IAEA, the UN's nuclear watchdog, basically saying regardless of who's in or out of the deal, Iran is still complying with the deal.
Right. And that has been the case for since the deal was signed in 2015 and since the IAEA has monitored it, it has certified that Iran has been complying with the bulk of the agreement. And the administration has acknowledged that. The Trump administration has. What the Trump administration says is that while Iran is adhering to the deal itself is insufficient to stop Iran's other activities, its support for militant groups throughout the Middle East, its ballistic missile program, some of the other conduct that Iran engages in throughout the region. So the administration says, yes, we understand that there are no specific violations of the Iran nuclear agreement. The IAEA has certified Iran's compliance for years now, but it's still not a good deal. Iran still is not acting in good faith, and therefore we need to withdraw from the deal. We need to incorporate Iran's activities beyond just its nuclear program and adhering to this deal when it comes to our policy towards Iran. Well, the opponents of that position say, hey, look, we already solved the nuclear issue at least for a decade or so. We should stay in the deal and then use other mechanisms to try to address that other activity.
One of the main issues for critics of the Iran deal has always been the trust but verify equation, sites that aren't included in the inspections.
Well, our committee, we've heard several people mention the suspicion that they're enriching uranium on those military bases.
Republican Congressman Francis Rooney is vice chairman of the House Foreign Affairs Committee.
And they keep talking about ballistic missiles. I wonder how you can have an anti-nuclear war treaty and have them continue to talk about developing medium-range ballistic missiles.
So, Rich, this report basically says inspectors had access to all of the sites, but that's only the sites they were supposed to see, right?
Exactly. The anytime, anywhere prospect of this. And Iran is defending its other sites, its other military sites, and the United States wants the ability to get in there. So there's a long list of complaints from those who don't like the Iran nuclear agreement, particularly those in the administration, who say, look, yes, Iran is complying with the letter of the deal and the deal that the previous administration signed. We don't like that deal, and we don't think that it contains Iran, and we don't think that it contains its nuclear program, nor does it contain all this other activity. And then the European governments say, no, we had this fixed for a while here. We need to keep this thing in place. And that has been sort of the foundation of the argument between the U.S. and those countries that are still in the deal and has developed quite a rift between the U.S. and some of its strongest allies.
And that rift periodically gets more exposed, like recently when Iran claimed it now had control over the entire Strait of Hormuz.
Yeah. And this, the rhetoric between the United States and Iran has never been lacking in claims like that. The U.S. military called those claims essentially absurd. It's an international waterway. It more oil transits through that waterway than any other waterway daily. So it's vital to commerce. It's vital to the oil industry, the energy industry. The U.S. has had a presence there. Iran has very much had a presence there. It's right off their coastline. So that is one of the arenas where this is all played out. And you have seen the president of the United States go at it over Twitter with Iran's leader. American leaders, the Secretary of State, others within the State Department, have had very aggressive language towards Iran, as Iran has had aggressive language towards the United States. But in the context of all of this, Iran's economy has really seen some deterioration over the past year, and analysts are expecting that to get worse as the U.S. fully implements those sanctions that it had lifted as part of the Iran nuclear deal. They'll fully go back into place on November 4th.
Before President Trump pulled out of the Iran nuclear deal in May, there were critics who warned, hey, North Korea is watching, and this is going to impact what happens with trying to get North Korea to denuclearize. Well, in the meantime, he had the Singapore summit with North Korean leader, and now those efforts are, I don't want to say stalling out a bit, but it's certainly a bumpy ride trying to make progress on that front. Is there anything happening with Iran that's directly affecting that or will?
There have been a couple of schools of thought on this, that if the United States withdrew from the Iran nuclear deal, then that would immediately mean that North Korea would look at it and say, the United States can't be trusted. They make a deal, and then 3 years later, they're out of that deal. But there's another school of analysis that says that what has happened between Iran and the United States is irrelevant to what happens between North Korea and the United States, and that the North Koreans see that. Analysts would say, look, they've already entered into at least a very broad framework with the Trump administration, knowing that it was withdrawing from the Iran nuclear agreement, continues to negotiate with the administration, but that is still isolated from what is the U.S.-Iran relationship and what happened with that deal.
What does Iran want at this point? I mean, obviously, they'd like the sanctions to go away again, I imagine.
Yeah. They want economic development. They want the ability to and by the way, economic development is something that the administration would say, no, that the regime takes the money for itself and then it uses that money to export extremism or terrorism around the world. Iran wants to buy also commercial airplanes. That's something that the U.S. sanctions that have been reimposed deny Iran the ability to buy commercial aircraft. So it's the administration is trying to starve the Iranian regime of what it says is its ability to export terror, but it also has inflation problems. Its consumers it's expensive to purchase things in Iran, to purchase goods. Some are looking at the United States within that country to say, it's your sanctions that are causing this economic pain. But there are others also, there have been protests in Iran who look at it and say, it's the policies of the Iranian government that are causing this, that are causing problems for the citizens of Iran and the residents there who want to just buy food and staples and have access to consumer goods. So in that sense, it very much is this sort of blame game within Iran where the Iranians have, for this and other things, blamed the United States for all of its ills. But the United States is saying, look, your regime takes money out of the economy and exports it and spends it on ballistic missiles and all of this other stuff around the region. And that's the reason why things aren't good there. And it's for as much as things develop in this relationship, they tend to stay the same.
Rich Edson at the State Department, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
Download Perino and Steierwald. I'll tell you what.
It tastes like frog leg.
Well, I don't know what that tastes like.
Have you ever eaten an alligator?
No.
What have you been doing all these years?
You're a normal American girl.
Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
It's time for your Fox News commentary.
Hi, I'm Chris Wallace, anchor of Fox News Sunday. And the big story in Washington this week is the farewell to Senator John McCain. Whether you liked his politics or didn't like his politics, I think there's two things that are undeniable. First, he was an American hero who believed in American exceptionalism, who came out of 5 brutal years in a Vietnamese prison camp and defended this country and its interests. And secondly, he was what the country and the founders wanted, which was a real legislator, someone who looked for Congress. compromise, didn't believe it had to be totally my way, but was looking for compromise. There are a lot of people who didn't like that. But whether it was on judicial nominees and trying to avoid filibusters, whether it was on immigration, torture, a variety of other issues, John McCain was a real legislator. It makes his farewell bittersweet. On the one hand, you want to celebrate a great life. On the other hand, the values he had, particularly in terms of legislating and compromise, really don't exist much in Congress anymore. And while all of those members will be celebrating him, it would be interesting and maybe helpful if some of them would practice what he preached. On Sunday, we're going to be focusing on that. We'll also focus on the Supreme Court hearing, confirmation hearing for Judge Brett Kavanaugh. Talk to two members of the Senate Judiciary Committee, Lindsey Graham and Dick Durbin. All of that on Fox News Sunday.
You have been listening to the Fox News Rundown. Stay up to date by subscribing to Fox News Radio's hourly newscast at foxnewspodcasts.com. And for up-to-the-minute news, visit foxnews.com.